Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. I am so excited. I'm going to share with you something today that some Torah that most people don't know about. And I think, in my opinion, this book is truly a classic in Torah literature. The name of the sefer is Hamidos Lecheker HaHalacha. And it was written by a rabbi named Rabbi Moshe Avigdor Amiel, who was a rav in Belgium. And later on in life, he became the Rav of Tel Aviv. He actually beat out Rav Soloveitchik in 1925, in 1935, to be the Rav of Tel Aviv. So, there was a race between him, Rav Amiel, Rav Herzog, and Rav Soloveitchik. And Rav Amiel got the job. So he was a tremendous gaon, Rav Amiel. And he was one of the leaders of the Mizrahi. And that's why in the certain circles, people don't know about him, because his hashkafas did not conform to their own. I'm referring to the more Haredi branch of Yidden, who are not Mizrahi people. But Rav Amiel was one of the heads of the Mizrahi. But one thing that's indisputable, all hashkafa aside, and he does have books on hashkafa, Drashos Elami, 3 volumes, Hegyonos Elami, 2 volumes, now they've been reprinting it. But he has a book and then he has a book on Kinyanim, and a book on Kodshim, Darche Moshe on Kinyanim, Derech HaKod, Derech HaKinyanim, Derech HaKodesh, 2 volumes each. And actually his son-in-law was Max Stern, if I'm not mistaken. The famous Max Stern of Max Stern Gymnasium fame. So, this Rav Amiel wrote a 3-volume series called Hamidos Lecheker HaHalacha. What is Hamidos Lecheker HaHalacha? When Rav Amiel was a young yeshiva bacher, about 13 years old, he saw that there are certain svaras, there are certain forms of logic, logical formulations, that are expressed throughout Shas and Poskim. Now, even though we're dealing with different topics, with different subjects, but conceptually, there's the same underlying machlokes in many, 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 many different instances. And in many, many different areas of halacha. So what he did was, he tried to find these threads of svara that go throughout the entire corpus of Talmudic and post-Talmudic literature. So he sat down. Remember, this was when he was 13 years old. He was already figuring this out. And he sat down, he wrote these 3 volumes, which I highly recommend that you buy, Amidos Lecheker HaHalacha. They reprinted it now. It's actually printed by a man named Markowitz, whose bookstore is in the downstairs from the Talmud Beis Medrash, and Rechov David Chazan 10 in Yerushalayim, Karta Dushufraya. And you can buy these books. It was first printed, this book was printed in 1939. So, Mitz Hashem, if Hashem gives us Koach and Hashem gives us Moach, we're going to be going through some of these Midos, and we're going to see how these conceptual formulations are expressed in many different places in Shas. And really, I think this is a window to Rambam. And he was a Bachur in the Tel's Yeshiva of Amiel, and a tremendous Gaon. In order to understand a book like this, you need to know something. In order to write a book like this, you need to be a big Gaon, and he certainly was. So with the first Nida, which incidentally is a fascinating Hakdama to the Sefer, the preface, which goes for about 142 pages, where he talks about the Gemara, and how the Gemara thinks, and different concepts in the Gemara, and philosophy, and he attacks the critics of the Talmud, and he shows how Pilpul, the way we learn today, Pilpul, we call Lundus. Lundus isn't a modern invention. Lundus is already found in the Gemara itself. And what Lundus does is it perpetuates itself. You have a Lundus Gemara, and then each of the Rishonim learns it in their own Lundus way, and then the Achronim learn the Rishonim in their Lundus way, and everybody is building on the principles which were laid down by the earlier authorities. And that's how Torah becomes greater and greater. So I highly recommend you read the Hakdama. But we're going to start right with the first Midah in the Sefer, the Guf HaSefer, which is on page, if you have one, Aleph. Meaning afterwards, 142-page preface. Now he starts on page 1 again. So the first logical formulation is Siva Umisubav, cause and effect. Says Rav Anya. So what he usually does is, he usually introduces the topic, he introduces the Svara, and then he shows the Svara is really found, it's really the root of a Machlokas Rishonim, or Achronim, or in the Gemara, etc. So, first he introduces the topic. What's Siva Umisubav? What is cause and effect? In nature, everything that happens is because of a reason. Every effect that you see has a cause. If you see, for example, a ball flying up in the air, that's because somebody threw the ball. So too, in Torah, nothing comes out of a vacuum. Whenever you find some law, there always has to be a reason for it. Whenever you see there's any muchalos, any change in halachic status, there always has to be a reason. Things don't happen automatically. And this is a klal gadol. When you have any new chiyuv bar mitzvah, a person's chayav mitzvahs. What? That's the mesuba. That's the effect. What caused it to be chayav mitzvahs? The fact that they're bar mitzvah. A kinyan. What caused this object to go into my rishus? That I made a kinyan. I lifted the object. I did any of the kinyanim. Ishus. How is this woman your wife? You gave her a shavaputa? You gave her a shtar? So in those cases, because of your maisa kinyan, now, because of that siva of the maisa kinyan, now you're kind of the object or the woman, whatever the situation might be. There's even a discussion as to what the kinyan ishus is. But whatever it is, it doesn't happen. There's no ishus without a siva. There's no mesubav without a siva. There's no chiyuv nisa. There's no chiyuv of galus, malchus, karbon, mamon, knas, anything. Anything a person is chayuv is always going to be because of a reason. Now, a muskel rishon is, it's simple for everybody that to say that before the effect, you have to have the cause. You can't have an effect and then a cause. It always has to be in this order. Siba, cause, and then mesubah, then effect. So it can't be cause and effect, effect before the cause. And you also can't have cause and effect happen at the same time. Because what about this mesubah? If there was no siba causing the mesubah, then you can't have a mesubah. So first you have to have a siba, and then after that you can have a mesubah. But to say there's a mesubah when the siba didn't precede it is impossible. And it's the same thing with God. We see the world, and we know that God, it didn't come here on its own. Like I always like to give the example. You go up to the planet Mars. You go up to the moon. What do you see on the moon? The moon isn't made of cheese. But let's say you see a box, a carton of cottage cheese. A carton of cottage cheese on the moon. What's your first reaction going to be? Somebody was here before me. Somebody was here before me, otherwise how did the cottage cheese get there? So it's the same thing with the world. The world couldn't have gotten here. The world couldn't exist. The world is a mesubah. The world is an effect. The world couldn't exist without a siva, without something causing the world to come into effect. Which we know is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Rambam talks about it in the Yisori HaTorah, Shagaga Sovet Tamid V'Yevshayah Sheyosev V'li Mesamei. You can't have the earth, cannot revolve on its axis, the moon, the stars, you can't have them if nothing is causing it to happen. V'hu Baruch Hu HaMesamei also. God is the prime mover. So if things are moving, as things are, somebody has to be moving them. And who's that somebody? The Rabbanu Shel Olam. But we find the same thing in Halacha. So where do we find this? In many places. For example, the famous Teretz of the Ran. Tosfos asks, in Chulin, Adaf Yudah Amar Aleph, why somebody who shechts on Shabbos Is his shechita kosher? Why is it a good shechita? Why shouldn't it be a good shechita if somebody shechits on Shabbos? Very simple. Because this person is a mummer. This person is an apostate, somebody who doesn't keep the Torah. He's a mummer l'chalal Shabbos. He's a habitch. He is a Shabbos desecrator. A person is machalal Shabbos b'mezid is a mummer l'chalal Shabbos. And a mummer l'chalal Shabbos shechita so psula. His shechita isn't kosher. So how is this mummer l'chalal Shabbos, how is his shechita kosher? We said that if somebody shechs on Shabbos, their shechita is kosher. But he's a mummer l'chalal Shabbos, so how's his shechita kosher? So what's the Ran's teretz? The Ran's teretz is, when does he become a mummer l'chalal Shabbos? Only after the shechita. Not before the shechita, not during the shechita, but after the shechita. But the shechita itself made him a mummer. And that cannot cancel the shechita because it's a shechita's mummer. Because the cause of him becoming a mummer is the shechita on Shabbos. And the effect is now he's a mummer l'chalal Shabbos and his shechita is pasul. But the cause and effect cannot be at the same time. You cannot say that he is a mummer l'chalal Shabbos as he is shechting for the first time on Shabbos. He is only a mummer l'chalal Shabbos because he's shechting on Shabbos in our situation. So therefore, first you have to see him shecht on Shabbos. Now he becomes a mummer l'chalal Shabbos, and the second time he shechts, the shechita will be pasul. Because the siva is him shechting on Shabbos, that made him a mummer l'chalal Shabbos, and that will cause, the mesuba will be, that now his shechita, whenever he shechts, is going to be a pasul shechita. So that's why the first time he shechts on Shabbos, the shechita is kosher. You can't say he's a mummer l'chalal Shabbos, and therefore the shechita is pasul, because he only became a mummer l'chalal Shabbos right at this minute. So the mesuba of the shechita being pasul comes at the same time as the siva, him shechting on Shabbos, and that can't be. So first you have to have the siva that he shechts on Shabbos, that shechita is kosher, and now mikano l'haba, he's a mummer l'chalal Shabbos, now the shechita is going to be pasul. So first you have to have the cause, the chilul Shabbos, and only afterwards you have the effect that a shechita is going to be pasul. But the chilul Shabbos and the psul of the shechita cannot come at the same time. So that's first siva, and then is the mesubav. And with the same svara, the ktsois in siman nun beis siv aleph answers Tosis kasha. According to the one who holds that if you have a shtar chov that has ribis on it, that you can collect the principal. You can collect the principal, right? You write a shtar. Reuven lends Shimon $1,000. And he says, I'll lend you $1,000. And you give me back $1,100. I want you to return $1,100. So there's a Man de Omar in Tosus. The Tosus says that you can collect the principal of $1,000. Even though obviously Ribis is usur. The other $100 is usur. But the principal you can collect, even though the shtar has ribbis written into it. So Tosfos asks, but the Edom are puzzle. The Edom that are signed on the shtar chov are puzzle Edom. Why? Because they were over on the Yisr of Lo Sisimun Olav Neshek. You are not allowed to charge ribbis. So they were signing on a ribbis contract. So they become, they were over on the Isser of being involved in a ribbis transaction, and now they're pasul eidus. So if these eidim that sign on this ribbis transaction are pasul eidus, so the whole shtar should be pasul. So why is the lender allowed to collect the principal? Answers the ktsos, like we said with our yisov, that the eidim are pasul from here on in, mikano lahava. But the shtar itself, from which they became pasul, that shtar is still kosher. Why? Because they only became pasul when they signed on the shtar. That's the siba of their psul. And now the Mesubah, from here on in, they're going to be Pasul, only starts after they sign on the Shtar. But you can't say that them signing on the Shtar is both the cause and effect of their being Pasul. At the very same moment, they did a Maisa to become Pasul, and they became Pasul at the same moment. No, first you have to have a cause, i.e. that they're Pasul because they did this Aveira. That's when they signed on the Shtar. And only afterwards do you say, now that they did this Aveira, that causes them to be Pasul, now they are going to be Pasul, that's Mikano La'ava. But as they're signing on the Shtar, they're not yet Pasul, because the Siva hasn't come into effect yet. First, the Siva has to kick in, and only then can you have the Mesubah. But you can't have the Siva and Mesubah at the same time. So Tosfos Kashi, we ask, how come they're not Pasul La'idus? They're signing on a Shtar of Ribis. The answer is because that's only a Siva for them to be Pasul La'idus, and then the fact that now they are Pasul can only come afterwards, because the Mesubah always has to follow the Siva. So that means that from here on in they're going to be Pasul. But right now, for signing the Shtar, they're not yet Pasul. That's only a Siva for their future Psul. But it is not that they're a Pasul right now, because this first you need the Siva. And only afterwards, the Mesubah of them becoming Pasul will take effect. And the question is, what about the other Rishonim? The other Rishonim don't hold like the Ram. So that, Rabbi Amiel promises that we're going to discuss in future Midos, calls them Midos. Midos Lechekar HaHalacha. But in the meantime, you see, from this Ktzos, and from the Ram, that first you need a Siba, and only then can you have a Mesubav. First the cause, and then the effect. However, there's a problem. We find in the Gemara something that apparently contradicts our thesis. Oh my goodness. Where is that? We all know the Gemara that says, Gito v'yado b'ayim ke'echad. That a master gives his Eved a shtar shechur, and the Eved can't receive the shtar shechur, because the Eved's yad belongs to the master. So when the Eved puts out his hand to receive this shtar that will free him, it's really the master who's receiving it. It's the Adam. So how does the Eved receive it? The answer is, Gito v'yado b'ayim ke'echad. At the very same moment, he gets the get, which makes him free. So he can collect the get, and at the same time that he can collect the get, he gets his hand back at the very same moment, simultaneously, he receives his freedom. So he gets his hand and the freedom at the same time. So this seems to be a big problem. So the only reason that he has a hand is because he's being freed. So being freed is the effect, is the mesubav of him having a hand. But the only way he has a hand is because he's being freed. So the only way you have the siba is because you have the mesubav. The only way the hand belongs to him is he's being freed. And the only way he's being freed is because his hand belongs to him. So we say that they're coming one from the other, they're coming at the same time. But that's a very big problem. Because first, we have to give him his yad, and then after that, we can give him the shtar shechur into his yad. But first he has to get a yad. But here he never had a chance to get his own yad. The yad never belonged to him. So there's no reason to free him in the first place. So it emerges then that the only way he can be Meshuchar is if he has his own hand. And here he never got a chance to get his own hand. Because there was no hand, there was no yad, his hand didn't belong to him, the Eved, until he was freed. So we're saying he's freed because he has a hand, but he doesn't have a hand yet. The second the Eved, the owner, the Adon, puts the Shtar in the Eved's hand, he's really putting a shtar in his own hand. So why do you say that he's free? No, we say that he's free. How did he ever become free? Ah, because he's free, he has a hand, but he's not free yet either. So First, you would need the Siba, the fact that he has his own Yad, and only then can you talk about the Masiba, that he's being free, and here you don't have that? So that is a very big problem with our Klal. Apparently, first, you should have to find a way to give him his own Yad, and only then can he receive a Shtar Shechur, and not say that he can receive a Shtar Shechur, because the Yad and the Shechur come at once. Very, very strange. So, the Ketzos HaChoshen, and Simon Ray, Sif Katan Hay, asks a very strong question. What would be the din if one is makne a chotzer to a buyer with a shtar matana? But he doesn't hand the shtar to the buyer. He puts the shtar in the buyer's courtyard. Is the buyer caught in the very courtyard that the buyer wants to buy? Does he acquire the courtyard? So you have Reuven. Reuven writes a shtar that I'm selling to Shimon. This courtyard, then he takes the shtar and he throws it into that courtyard. So normally we know that there's a concept of kinyan chatzer. If the courtyard belonged to Shimon originally, then of course, whatever shtar fell in there now belongs to him. And if that shtar was talking about some different field, he would own that other field. But here we're talking about the same field. Shimon Reuven writes the shtar that you're acquiring the field on Rehov HaMalach. There's a nice little courtyard in Rehov HaMalach, and he throws the shtar onto Rehov HaMalach. So would he be koneh that chatzer? And Ketzos HaChoshen says, listen, we have no lies from the Gemara, but we have a klal, and the klal is that you can't make a kinyan without a reason. You need a siva. The kinyan is the mesubav. The fact of the acquisition of the Mesubah. The Maisa Kinyan is the Siba. So first you need a Maisa Kinyan, and then you can actually make a Kinyan. And here, we don't have that. Here, when he made the Maisa Kinyan, it wasn't a Maisa Kinyan at all, because the field didn't yet belong to him. So there's no Siba for the Kinyan of the Chatzer, because there was no previous proper Maisa Kinyan. First there has to be a Maisa Kinyan, and then that will be the Siba that something else should come into my property. But here there was no Maisa Kinyan that preceded the actual Kinyan, because the field didn't belong to the buyer in the first place. So the only question is, that's Ketzos HaChoshen's answer. But how does that work with the klal of Gito V'yodah Ban Ke'echad? We say that when you're giving a person a shtar shechur, he gets his hand, in other words, the Maisa Kinyan, that the hand belongs to him, that you're putting in his hand, and his shechur, the mesubah of that Kinyan, can happen simultaneously. Why can we not say here also that he threw it into the Kerubah and throws it into Shimon's courtyard? He throws the shtar Kinyan Chatzer into the courtyard that doesn't yet belong to Shimon. The moment it hits the ground, the moment it goes into Shimon's Rishus, so at the very same second, Shimon is acquiring the field, and together with it, the Shtar Kinyan. Because the Shtar Kinyan is mapping in the field, and it's happening simultaneously. Simultaneously, he's getting the Shtar Kinyan and the Chatzer all at once. But the Ketzos HaChoshen says, the Musko Pashut, that it's not true. First you have to make a kinyan, and only then can you have the mesubah that you own it. So first he has to do a maisa kinyan, and here the maisa kinyan is coming together with the actual kinyan. Because the maisa kinyan is the shtar falling into his field, and that comes together with the actual kinyan of the field, and that can't be. So the Ketzos HaChoshen is mechalek, a famous chilek in the Ketzos, between kinyan and nesina. In other words, in a kinyan chotzer, through the shtar matana, the buyer, or the one who's going to be makabel the matana, has to acquire the shtar. You have to make a kinyan on the shtar. And only after you make a kinyan on the shtar can you make a kinyan on the chotzer. But it's not true with a get. With a get, a woman doesn't have to acquire the get. She just has to receive the get. You just need nesina liyada. And the raya is that if you give a woman a get on a surah hanah, it's kosher. You can't be Kana Esurei Hana. The answer is she doesn't need to be Kana again. All you need to do is hand it to her. So Kfilz HaRoshin says that they hand it to her, that if all you have to do is hand it to her, that can happen simultaneously with her being divorced. If you're dealing with a Gerisha or with the Eved, here he's talking about a Gerisha. So let's say you have a Gerisha, that since all you need is Nisina, you hand it to the woman, and then simultaneously with the handing to the woman, she can acquire her own hand back and also be divorced. So you have the Siba of her, you have the receiving of the get and the outcome of her being divorced simultaneously happening. But with a shtar, with a chatzer, there you don't need, it's not enough to do nesinas hashtar. When you want to be makne shtar, a chatzer to somebody else who do a shtar, it's not enough to give them the shtar. The person has to be called the shtar. And in order to make a proper kinyan, first you have to have the kinyan, and then you have to have the mesubah that you're calling. So when you throw the shvub and the shtar into Shimon's chatzer, the kinyan ashtar, that the shtar is in his courtyard, and that the courtyard is his, comes simultaneously, and that can't be, because we're dealing with a kinyan. So an asina, the Ktso says, can be simultaneous, both an asina and the chalos. But with a kinyan, first you need the kinyan, and only afterwards can you have the mesubah of the fact that it's born. However, the Rav Amiel says, and I also don't understand that, what's the difference? I still don't understand the difference. When you're dealing with a kinyan chatzah, what's the siba, the kinyan ashtar? And what's the mesubah of the fact that you're on the courtyard, and that you said first has to come kinyan ashtar, and then on the courtyard? So even if you say that regarding with respect to a get isha, or a shechur of an eved, all you need is Nisina. So Nisina is now the Siva. So the Siva is no longer the kinyan of the Shtar. That's the Yisod of the Ktzos. The woman doesn't need to be Kohen of the Shtar, but there needs to be a Nisina Shtar. So since the Nisina is the Siva, first you have to have the Siva of the Nisina, and only afterwards can the woman be divorced. And here they're coming simultaneously. Together with the proper Nesina. Why is it a proper Nesina? Because now her Yad belongs to her. Now the Eved's Yad belongs to him. Together with the Nesina, which the Ktso says the proper Nesina, comes the actual fact that now the woman and the slave are free. But since the Nesina is only a Siva for the ultimate freedom, first you need a proper Nesina. And only then can you have the freedom, the shechur, the woman being divorced. And by with a get, we don't see that. Because she never went, when did she get her hand in the first place? The moment he gave it to her, she was divorced. But how did she become divorced? When did she ever have her hand? She has her hand because she's divorced? Then the mesubah is causing the siva. So therefore, what the Ktzos's answer doesn't seem to suffice for us. Zot, the holy Rav Amiel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. That this is the pshat, this is the gedder. There's a difference between a siba goremes and a siba monas, a cause that generates the effect, or a cause that is preventing the effect. When you're dealing with a siba goremes, esam bechiyuv, esam esubav, that the cause is actively bringing about the effect. So of course, first you need the siba agoremes, the active siba, and only then can you have a mesubav. But if it's a siba monas, if you have the cause is preventing the mesubav, the only way it can stop the mesubav is if it's still extant, if the siba monas, if the preventative reason is still extant, even after the mesubav takes effect. But let's say after the mesubav takes effect, the siba monas is no longer present, then nothing is going to prevent the mesubav from taking effect. And that is pshat in the Ktzos. That's the difference. That is not pshat in the Ktzos, but that is the chiluk That is the way we can answer the Ktosis question. When we're talking about putting a shtar matan in the field, so the shtar matana is the goreim to acquire the field. And the only way, in other words, the receiving the shtar kinyan is the only way that this person can acquire the field. And in our case, where Reuben threw it at the Shimon's field, where Reuben threw the shtar kinyan of Reuben's field, of being making of the field to Shimon, by throwing it into that field, into that courtyard, happened at the very same time as we want the kinyan to be chal, the kinyan of the field. But there's nothing that's going to, what made the field Shimon's in the first place, that he can acquire this shtar? This field was never Shimon's. And you can't say that he acquired the field, and because he acquired the field, now he's also acquiring the shtar. Why can't you say that? Because then the mesubah of acquiring the field will bring about the siba of him acquiring the shtar. That can't be. Because first you have to acquire the shtar, and only then can you acquire the field, because the goal aim of acquiring the field is acquiring the shtar. So first you need to make a kinyan on the shtar, and only then on the field. And if it happens simultaneously, it doesn't work. You can't throw it into, Reuben can't throw a shtar into Reuben's courtyard and say, this shtar says it belongs to Shimon, and now Shimon owns the field. Or owns the courtyard. How did Shimon ever get the courtyard? It's not his. The shtar fell into Reuben's courtyard. So now there's a shtar in Reuben's courtyard that says that Shimon owns it. That Shimon owns this courtyard. But Reuben still owns the shtar. What gave Shimon the shtar? The only thing that could possibly give Shimon the shtar is him acquiring the courtyard. And he hasn't yet acquired the courtyard. We need something to cause him to acquire the courtyard. So that is that case. But in the other case, we're dealing with Kabbalah Biyad. So, is there Kabbalah Biyad? What do we have? We have an Adon, or we have a Baal, who goes up to their Eved or wife respectively, which are obviously not the same. And they put a shtar, getting the shikur in their hands. Was there a Kabbalah Biyad? Yes, there was a Kabbalah Biyad. You can't deny it. This lady received her gift. She received it. The only thing is there something preventing the Yad from being her own? What's preventing the Yad from being her own? The fact that she's still married to her husband. So there is a Yad. There is a Siba. The Siba Goremes is present. She received the Shtar Gittin. The Eved received the Shtar Shichur. There is a Siba Goremes. There's only one problem. There's something preventing this Siba Goremes from taking effect. There's a Siba Monas here. What's the Siba Monas? That she's still married to her husband. But the original Siba Goremes is there. By the field. There was never a Siba that this field should be acquired to Shimon in the first place. The field was never his. But the woman's hands, the reality is that the hand belongs to the woman. The only thing is that because of something external, because her husband, there's a din of Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo, or that a woman's hand is like her husband's hand, so in the meantime she can't acquire anything. So that's a Siba Monas, that's a preventative cause that doesn't allow the Mesubah to take effect. So you have the Siba Goremes, you have the Kabbalah Sashtar. Good. Now, you want the Mesubah to take effect of the woman's divorce, the Eved is freed. It's not happening because there's a Siba Monas of the hand belonging to the Adon or the Baal. So now you can apply the rule of Gito B'Yado B'Yim Ke'echa to do what? To remove, to erase the Siba Monas. So the Gito B'Yado B'Yim Ke'echa is only saying that because she is receiving the get together with her hand, that receiving of the get removes the Siba Monas of the hand not belonging to her. And that can happen simultaneously. So again, with the Chatzar, the Siba Goremes has to precede the Misubav. Because the Sibav Goremis is that Shimon owns the courtyard, and only after he owns the courtyard can he acquire the shtar that is thrown into the courtyard. And therefore the Ksos says it's a davar pashut that they can't happen simultaneously. But if we have a Siba Goremis, and that Siba Goremis should bring about a Mesubav, but there's a Siba Monas, that Mesubav, there's something preventing that effect, there you can apply the rule of Gito B'yado Vayim Ke'echad, and you have the Siba Goremis of the woman receiving the get, and you want to apply the Mesubav of her being divorced, but there's something preventing her from being divorced, and that is, their hand doesn't belong to her. Ah, to take care of that Siba Monas, you can say that Gito, her get, comes together with her hand, and the divorce and her getting her hand back come at the same time. But that's only because there is original Siba Goremis. So what's the original Siba Goremis? The fact that it's her hand. That's the Metzias. Mashenke in a chaser, not his field. It was never Shimon's field. So there was no Siba Goremis at all to give Shimon the field. Here there is a Siba Goremis. You're giving it to her hand. The only thing is a Siba Monas, and only a Siba Goremis has to precede the Mesubav. But a Siba Monas can come even after the Mesubav. So that is Rabosai Mamish, the tip of the iceberg, a taste of Rav Amiel's Nida of Siba and Mesubav. And Amir Tzashem, Hashem Yiten Koach V'moach, we will continue next time. In the meantime, I wish you all a day filled with light and understanding of the depth, as we saw a little bit of today, of the Torah of Hashem. Yom Tov Yididai HaTovim, Yom Na'im V'Yom Nechmad, Ohev Etchem Begadol, Elchanan, Ben Imi Morati, Hena Miriam. Shalom, shalom, my sweetest friends.